Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Adelka Pollock is a dancer, puppeteer, masked performer, and a teaching artist throughout Connecticut. Pollock is the founder and artistic director of Sova Theater and is currently preparing for Secret Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream, which will run August 25th and 26th, two performances each night, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., at Whiting Mills in Winsted, Connecticut. We'll be talking about her career in the performing arts, about her upcoming production, and much, much more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Thank you for coming into our studios today, Adelka Pollock.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is such a privilege and an honor for us to have you here. Your work is exceptional. You have traveled around the world with all of your artistry, and we're going to get into all of that. You are specifically here because you are going to be part of this incredible production called Secret Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Could you tell me a little bit about what this performance is?
Yes, this is such an exciting performance that is happening at Whiting Mills in Winsted, Connecticut. And we have five different companies that are involved in this production, which is pretty amazing. And my company, Sova Theater, is doing Act Two of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is going to be held in the outdoor courtyard, which is not used very often, it seems, at Whiting Mills. So
yes,
it's a really, really amazing space because it's this old industrial courtyard that is now overgrown with moss and ferns and all sorts of beautifully smelling things in nature.
That's right. That the Whiting Mills used to be a hosiery factory, and it has been renovated into now this enclave of artist studio space. It's really wonderful. Every third Sunday, they have kind of an open studio experience for the public to come on in. And this is going to be a unique experience for this particular location. It's going to be actually a unique experience for our Northwest Connecticut community, because I'm not sure this type of theatrical experience has occurred here.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're absolutely right. And it's amazing because it will be a unique way of sort of touring the building and also having a really unique theatrical experience where you get to follow each act into a different part of the building. And it's done in a completely different style each time by a different performance company. So you'll see multiple people playing the same character, just depending on the company that it is. So each company has a different act essentially for the show.
Now the show is produced by Keith Paul's Desultory Theater Club and in partnership with Northwest Connecticut Arts Council. And if you follow the Desultory Theater Club on their website, you might see some of your work, some Sova Theater preparation for this particular event. And the puppetry there seems incredible. This is going to be an amazing experience. So I guess I'd like to just step back from the very beginning and say, what interests you in puppetry? What was the thing that brought you to puppetry?
Well, puppets are these really unique art. It's just a very unique form of art, you know, because it's visually interesting. It's visually moving, quite literally, right? So my foundation is in dance from when I was very young as a child, and that was my form of communication. But I felt like as I grew older and I started to get into, the theater studies and all sorts of other things, I realized that puppetry was that added layer that I needed in order to relate to audiences whatever it was I wanted to express. And it piques my interest, so hopefully it piques others.
So your foundation is in dance from a very early age. What's your earliest memory of dance or of a dancing type experience?
My earliest memory of dance was doing a dance to La Bamba, I think. I did a little performance in my backyard for my family, you know, and it was just a really exciting moment. And I had no qualms about being up in front of everyone. And I still don't think that I do. I think that's the one thing I'm pretty good at, is not not worrying about stage fright so much.
Why do you think that's the case? They don't have stage fright. Many
Well,
people do.
yeah, my family is a very loud and expressive family. We're a bicultural family, bilingual to some extent. Although my parents didn't technically teach us Slovak, I had to study Slovak at the University of Pittsburgh. And but my mother, it's funny, even though I learned English from my parents, I feel like she listens to me much better when I'm speaking to her in Slovak. Even if it's just a minimal amount of Slovak that I do know. So we had to, even when I went to visit my family, because I didn't know the language so well, I needed to express myself in other ways in order to get my point across from a very young age. So I was always trying to communicate to people, I guess, around the world because I liked them, or because I just wanted to relate to other people and make some kind of a connection. And that's what live theater is about too. So that's why I have such a strong grip with live theater.
Live theater, and you mentioned around the world. You have performed around the world. Where are some of the places that you have performed?
Bulgaria is one of my favorite places that I've been to. I was there twice with a Mask Theater. Some people may know in this area Larry Hunt, who was a mask artist from Bethlehem, Connecticut, and he was my mask mentor. We worked together and performed together from 2008 through at least 2013. We went to Taiwan as well, Denmark, the Czech Republic, and Turkey. And Taiwan.
Wow. Okay. Ooh, there's a lot to unpack there. For those who are unfamiliar, could you describe for the listening audience what mask performance, what mask artistry is?
It's about a complete and utter transformation almost immediately. Sometimes you could let it evolve and let it happen slowly, because sometimes I'll use a fabric which I'll hide under. So I actually mask the human form as well. And then suddenly I bring a mask out in the form of a puppet, but people don't know that it's not on my head. So I could create really cool visual tricks and things to fool the audience.
Oh, that's amazing. And now, do you like live performance versus, say, perhaps filming it or anything like that? Do you prefer the interaction of a live audience?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I have a lot of Native American friends, and it's interesting when we're doing a saging, say before we would start even a performance. Nobody's allowed to take photos and that kind of thing during that moment where, it is considered for the Native American community that I worked with a prayer, So if you take a photo of something, it takes the spirit of that away. So I kind of find video to be, removed from the actual spirit of the show, and I find that a really interesting philosophy that somehow has maybe given me a reason that my videos aren't necessarily as good as I would like them to be of my live performances.
Well, because you put your emphasis on the live performance and the interaction captured, if you will, by the visual presentation that you are performing.
It's about that human connection, absolutely. Because you can look into the eyes of an audience member, you kind of get the sense of the energy of the audience too and everything. And you get to essentially play with the audience to some extent, even if it's just walking through the audience, and you're in that physical space, you're breathing the same air, you're smelling the same things there as well, because that's the thing that I find the most interesting and surprising about our space is just the smell of these plants coming out of the earth in the court in this industrial courtyard.
That's amazing. When we come back from our first break, what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit more about the preparation for Secret Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream, which will be performed in Whiting Mills in Winsted, Connecticut. And then I'd like to get more into the history of what it is that you do and what it's like to be a teaching artist as well, especially a teaching artist in Connecticut. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio, is Adelka Pollock. She is the artistic director and founder of Sova Theater. She is a mask performer. We talked in the first segment about mask performance. She is a dancer, and she is part of this extraordinary show, which will be occurring August 25th, August 26th, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., Secret Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Now, you have an incredible array of performers who are working with you to bring this scene to life. Who are some of those individual people?
Yes, I have so many great people that I'm working with. Justin Perlman is a visual artist and a sculptor. He's in the fine art world, but he has offered to make my puppets for me, which I feel so privileged for this show, because he is a master at the human form and also just figuring out really cool mechanics for the way things move. And he is especially interested, like me, in the use of natural materials and figuring out how do you use these cattails from this pond, you know, in this to create this moving form. And then he also gets into the use of handmade papers as well, in order to, he sets some of the masks in for the puppets that there are handmade paper masks that are worn by the puppets that he set within rubber molds and that kind of thing. So the process is pretty interesting to watch and be a part of. And then also I essentially dress the puppets then from there.
And, you know, there are puppets and then there are puppets. And I just want to describe a little bit for you. These puppets are enormous. Person uses their full body when they are working these particular puppets, these particular pieces of art. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, for the two, the king and queen of the fairies kingdom, absolutely, yes. Titiana and Oberon, which are played by Cynthia Rochert and Tim Walsh. So Cynthia is going to be playing her, she's going to be playing the fairy queen on stilts as well. So she is going to be towering above everyone in this courtyard in this very big and beautiful way. She's amazing. Cynthia Rochert is the owner of Spark Arts in Bethel and also Circus Moves. So she owns a circus company, and I'm so fortunate to have her on my team as well. And Tim Walsh is just doing a phenomenal job with Oberon with this puppet that's set essentially in front of him. So he has control of the arms, and then also his spine moves a bit with his spine as well, but he has a little bit more control with the setting being in the front, unlike a lot of parade puppets that you'll see where they'll just go vertical off the back. So it gives them a really magnificent height, but not all of the puppets are so big.
Well, very nice. And we're not going to spoil any surprises, but that's something just to consider, that because when we're talking about this open space of a courtyard, you're really filling that space with this unique vision. And scene two is very special, isn't it, in A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yes, it happens entirely in the forest. So that's why Act Two, Keith thought that it would fit my company so well, just in regards to our use of natural materials and our interest in the environment and utilizing the gifts of the earth, you know, to create this production.
Wow. And so this is going to be an amazing performance. People are going to be walking through Whiting Mills. They're going to experience scene one by another company. Then they're going to be guided into scene two, which is right in the courtyard. They're going to experience the work of Sova Theater, the work of Adelka Pollock. It's going to be an amazing experience. Now, you are not just the director of Sova Theater. You are also a teacher. You teach many different forms of art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I teach puppetry and I teach mask work as well. Yeah, within the context of theater. And sometimes that incorporates a basis of movement even before we get to the puppetry, right? Because my foundation as a child was, you know, using my movement skills. And then I can teach the children from there some puppetry techniques as well. And it just opens them up to such joy and laughter. And it makes me so utterly happy when I leave the schools in Connecticut with just hundreds of smiles from the day.
Now, did you, when you were growing up, did you have that type of opportunity, the type of cultural opportunity to take puppetry classes, to take mask classes at all?
Not at all. No, I grew up in suburban Ohio, and we had no access to culture except through our TV screen, at least in the time of after the steel mills closed and everything, which is when I grew up, was post steel era. So it essentially became a ghost town to some extent of Youngstown, Ohio, and then also where I moved to Pittsburgh. But at least when I went to college in Pittsburgh, I had access to the world, it felt like, in regards to it being even a platform for taking off and going overseas and studying abroad for the summers and that kind of thing. So it became a phenomenal place. So I essentially grew up on Fraggle Rock and the Muppets.
And from there, you gained some experience that seems self-taught. Were you taught at all dance, or was that something that was self-taught, and then you took some classes, and then eventually built a vast
It was a
body of
combination
work?
of both. I mean, dance, I certainly took classes, but I also learned from whether it was my friends in gym class or on the streets. We were just having fun. We were kids. If we had nothing to do, we were going to make sure that we were still having fun regardless.
Well, it's incredible and a wonderful thing to be able to come from the experience where those type of opportunities weren't available to you, and yet you've built a life of experience that now you're able to share with a vast numbers of students who are now experiencing and being able to experience that that teaching moment and see that creativity flourish. So that must be an exciting thing for you.
Yeah, it is a tremendous feeling. It just feels so good because I didn't have access to this kind of thing when I was a child. So it makes me so happy every time that I go into a classroom and can share this art form that I love so much with so many children, because the days, like I said, always end in laughter.
The for children, their imaginations are incredible, and many times for those, especially when you get to my age, then you wish to get back to that point of imagination. For the children, are they enraptured by the puppets, or are they do they get to create their own puppets or
Yeah,
their own masks within your
absolutely.
class?
Yes. So, one of the programs that I do, I read a story with them, which also involves onomatopoeia, and they get to repeat all sorts of different things back to me in regards to frog sounds. And then we end up making frog puppets, and then we end up doing sort of an informal performance for each other within the class. So they get to actually learn the puppetry skills for the puppets that they made. So it's a three-part workshop, which is called Frogs Make Me Hoppy.
Frogs make me happy. That's amazing. That's so fantastic. And do schools reach out to Sova Theater in order to add this to their curriculum? Is that how it works?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm work within a couple of different programs, like Hartford Performs, and also Connecticut Arts for Learning as well.
That's so fantastic. That sounds like just an incredible experience for people to be able to, for not just people, for children to be able to experience this way of finding a way to share their own creativity, to build something in a very fun environment. So that's so amazing and so wonderful that you share that with them.
Yeah, and just so you know, though, puppets are not just for kids, you
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you look at the incredible work that we'll be experiencing, I'm going to the show, so I will be experiencing that along with everybody else. This is very fine, intricate work, and when we get back, we'll talk about some of the creation of those puppets, because you work with other people behind the scenes in Sova Theater to bring this to life. We're going to come back in just a few moments on the for our third and final segment. We'll talk more with Adelka Pollock here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. I'm speaking with Adelka Pollack. Adelka Pollack is the founder and artistic director of Sova Theater. We've talked about her history in dance and of puppetry. Let's talk about theater now. Okay, what was your experience in theater? What's one of your first experiences dealing with theater?
I ended up working right after college with Squonk Opera, which was this avant-garde, totally wacky theater troupe that went from essentially junkyards to Broadway. Literally junkyards.
Junkyards to Broadway. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Tell me about the junkyards. How did that work?
Yeah, so when they first started out, before I worked with them, they literally did a performance in a junkyard and got the guy who operated the crane in the junkyard to choreograph the crane in the show and made it a part of they had music playing with this choreographed crane, and then they also had dancers performing in the center with more sorts of wacky images and visuals that was kind of hallucinatory. They have this sort of very non-narrative style, which is basically a music video that basically is sort of nonsensical.
Wow.
but it's always a lot of fun. So.
And how did you join this particular group?
I had an internship at the City Theater in Pittsburgh when I was in college, and I ended up filling in for an employee of the City Theater backstage for the world premiere of their show. So I did that one performance, which just happened to be the world premiere of their show. And they realized that, we worked all really well together. And I was popping puppets up through the stage from backstage and making all essentially the magic happen that you couldn't see who was necessarily doing it. But, you know, I was doing all of this movement off stage by diving under platforms and making things spin and turn and move. And, you know, I was essentially the special effects girl backstage.
That's an incredible experience.
But, yeah.
Did you realize at the time that this would become such an enormous event and opportunity?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily realized it or just went with the flow of it because, mm-hmm. Like I said, we worked so well together, and it ended up working out really well, where I ended up starting my tour with them literally 2 hours after I handed in my senior project from college.
Wow.
So I went to Chicago and did a show at a university out there, and then we ended up going to California and upstate New York, and then overseas to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and later to South Korea for a music theater festival as well. So,
do you like traveling? Is it that's something that's a pleasurable part of the providing art to the world type of thing? To travel the world to do that?
Absolutely, because you get to learn so much when you're overseas. You know, you get out of your own little box for a little while, and my mind just feels heightened every time when I'm traveling, because it's not even like you're going to seek out knowledge and new information and all of these different experiences. It happens. Like, it's just a part of the entire experience. So, you know, I don't know how you could avoid it, essentially.
That's incredible. So you were behind the scenes for this particular Squonk Theater. And are there people behind the scenes now helping you with A Midsummer Night's Dream? You mentioned a few of the folks working so far.
Yeah, so some of the people are both behind the scenes and right on stage as well.
Ah.
Yeah, so I would say Justin Perlman's probably the only total person who's entirely behind the scenes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Robin McCahill, she's a felt artist in Thomaston, and she's going to be working on some fairy puppets and lanterns for the piece, and she's just a big help overall because she's a bike mechanic as well. So
wow,
her use of and knowledge of mechanics makes for really cool puppetry mechanics. So she's really an amazing person to have a part of the show. And then like I mentioned, Cynthia Rochert as well. And then I also have Rick and Cynthia Quintanal, who They have a group called Crystal Symbology, and they lent us their recording studio to record all of the voices for the performance. So it's kind of done in an
Wow.
old style of puppet theater where, the soundtrack is pre-recorded and everything. So that's really exciting. And we have a sound designer named Jesse Roccio, who is going to be doing the music for the piece and sort of environmental sounds to go along with the voice recordings.
That's incredible. Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's August 25th and 26th, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. These are limited engagements, and it's my understanding that tickets can only be purchased in advance because it is such a unique venue and a unique way to experience Shakespeare. This is Shakespeare in a totally different way. Even if you were a fan of Shakespeare, you've never seen it like this. And if you've never experienced Shakespeare, you're going to be blown away by it. That's my understanding. It's going to be just an incredible event. So let me ask you this as before we wrap up. What else is on the itinerary? What else is on the schedule for Adelka Pollock? What else will you be working on throughout the year?
Yeah, so after I've been working so hard on this piece, this is what all of my energy is going towards right now in creating these new puppets, especially the puppet for Puck. I'm so excited by this little puppet and thinking about, what is his next project? Am I just creating him for this show alone? I don't know, maybe he becomes like an actor where he could play different roles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing some special events and different things throughout Connecticut, like at the White Memorial Conservation Center. I'm going to be a part of Nature Day with a puppetry stand that's going to be run by both myself and Robin McCahill. And I think that's on September 23rd. Yes, throughout the day. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And we may even bring out the King and Queen puppets for that event as well.
So that's September 23rd at the White Memorial Conservation Center in Litchfield, which is a beautiful space. So I it sounds great. That's in the short term. I hope that whatever you do work in the future, that you share some of that information with us. We can share it here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Absolutely. Thank you.
For those who want to get in contact with you, should you wish to be contacted if there are some events, can they find you through Sova Theater?
Yes, I have a website that's just sovatheater.com. So I spell theater TheaTer, and Sova is it's Sova. It means owl in Slovak. Yeah.
Very nice. That's sovatheater.com. Adelka Pollock, thank you for coming in to talk to us today on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thank you for having me.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank you for that. Stay tuned for additional programming here on WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. We hope you enjoyed the chat.